Don't you get sick of the Israel lobby trying to get us into more wars in the Middle East? Or always abusing Palestinians with your tax dollars? It once seemed like the lobby would always have full-spectrum dominance on the foreign policy discussion in D.C. But those days are over. The Council for the National Interest is the America lobby, standing up and pushing back against the Israel lobby's undue influence on Capitol Hill. Go show some support at councilforthenationalinterest.org. That's councilforthenationalinterest.org.
All right, you guys, welcome back. I'm Scott Horton. It's my show, The Scott Horton Show. We do have Stephen Zunis on the line. He's a professor of something and something. Welcome back. How are you doing, Stephen?
Pretty good. I'm in Austria right now.
Oh, yeah?
Looking at the mountains while the sun is setting.
Cool.
Very nice.
All right, so I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me, my man. It's my fault. What is your title at the University of what again?
I'm a professor of politics at the University of San Francisco.
I knew that. I just forgot it.
Yep. And I unfortunately have a few minutes right now, but we can
understand.
What you want to talk about.
Yes, Burkina Faso. Now, you told me you're not an expert on this, but you knew so much about Mali back when the war broke out there in 2012 and 2013.
Okay.
I know that you're at least somewhat familiar with this, and you've been following the story of the coup d'etat there in Burkina Faso. So I guess just give us 10 minutes of everything you think is the most important for us to know about
it. Okay. Well, Burkina Faso is a landlocked country in West Africa, former French colony, used to be called Upper Volta. And it was one of those kind of classical, you know, neocolonial setups, you know, where they're independent in name only, where the French, you know, basically, you know, bribe their the folks to be friendly to their business interests and strategic interests, and a self-enriching elite, you know, was kind of rule things, and you know, people didn't really like that, so they only had one or two elections before they ended up staging a coup. But in 1983, a guy by the name of Thomas Sankara, who was one of the junior officers, was really fed up, and he staged kind of an internal coup and said, okay, we're going to do things right. First of all, we're going to change this colonial name, Upper Volta, and that's how they got their current name, Burkina Faso. But he did a lot more than that. He got everybody, he sold the fleet of Mercedes-Benzes that all these you know, government officials had and replaced them with Toyota Compact. He started a program where, you know, the country's wealth would try to go to the people, you know, rather than the foreign corporations. And he called for a non-aligned foreign policy. He didn't want to get caught up in all the Cold War politics. And he was very popular. In fact, he all over Africa, people are looking at him as kind of a model of the new African leader, kind of, you know, get rid of the BS they've been having, you know, since independence. But he was murdered in a coup led by a guy named Blaise Compaoré, who ended up ruling the country until last year. He had ended up doing a series of staged elections and things like that. But the French, the Americans really liked him because, you know, he was friendly to their business interests. He was an ally in the so-called war on terror. But then what happened was the people got disgusted and they rose up last year. It was a largely nonviolent, I mean, there's some rioting and stuff, but it was mostly, you know, it was unarmed, you know, strikes, boycotts, street protests. Dozens of people got gunned down by the bloody presidential guard, which, you know, went, which was a U.S. organized and trained paramilitary force, you know, one that was, you know, protected the president. It went by its French acronym, the RSP. But eventually, Compaoré was forced into exile. They got an interim government of the
Now let me stop you right there for a second, Stephen, and ask you: is there any indication that this was the NED, the USAID, whatever, American-backed, color-coded revolution-style thing? Sure, sounds like one.
Oh, no, no, this is a very popular, genuine grassroots uprising. The U.S. was supporting the dictatorship. We were not supporting the
Well, sometimes it's both, you know.
But, you know, these guys, you know, this is for real. They had a coalition government, and then plan to have elections in 2 weeks where they would finally be able to elect a government. And the transition commission said basically, no allies, the dictatorship can run. And we should probably get rid of this RSP group. They're kind of sketchy given their history. But then the RSP ended up having a coup. This U.S.-trained elite force just last week. They claimed themselves the provisional government. People, of course, went out in the streets and started protesting, and they started shooting people. There's still a lot of unrest going on. Now, there's no indication that the United States was behind the coup, but, in fact, officially, the Obama administration has condemned it. But the as with Mali a couple of years ago, the people who did it were U.S. trained. We're part of this militarization of Africa we've been seeing in recent years, where the United States is trying to set up this Africa command, and cooperate and train these African armed forces, essentially to fight in the war on terror. But it's kind of like, the School of Americas, when we train these various army officers
sure.
to fight the communists, they end up taking over these governments.
It turns out Omar the Chechen is actually Georgian and was trained by the Rangers, is now the military leader of the Islamic State.
Yeah, it's one of these things that even though, I don't think it was the U.S. was behind the coup, it shows, again, this kind of short-sightedness that we end up, whether it be the fighting against communists or fighting against terrorists, we end up supporting these thugs that end up, taking over their countries and actually creating more radicals than they within the end of killing, because people don't want to be under a dictator, and they try to fight back. Now, so far, the good news is that the resistance again has largely been nonviolent. These people really are sincerely interested in democracy, but if they keep being oppressed like that, mm-hmm. they'll give an opening to the very radicals we supposedly oppose. So.
Now, Stephen, Reuters is reporting here that the president of Senegal has come up with this deal for a transition and basically to roll back the coup, some kind of power sharing, this kind of thing. Do you know anything about that?
The neighboring countries are definitely want to try to get some kind of compromise, but the Senegalese president's also very tight with French and neo-colonial interests. I mean, I think what they want to do is maybe make some kind of coalition that may not be as brutal and dictatorial as some elements, but certainly not one that represents the masses either. Because what we've been seeing in Africa, that our stereotype of Africa is these tribal wars and all this kind of killing and corruption and all this kind of stuff, but people of Africa, want their freedom just as much as anybody else does. And, you have had, popular pro-democracy struggles going on there for some time. And, I have to leave now, unfortunately, but I just want to leave your listeners just the idea that, there's a lot of good things happening in Africa on the grassroots level we never hear about. And they're manifesting themselves in grassroots sustainable economic development, and with empowering and educating women, trying to stop the abuses of state power, whether it be, pro-socialist governments, pro-capitalist governments. What they want is, people power, and from below, and Burkina Faso looked like a bright spot, having ousted the 27-year-old dictatorship last year, and this coup unfortunately is a major setback. But they're despite all this, there is some signs of hope in Africa, and let's hope that these forces, not those of foreign intervention and corrupt local leaders, will be the ones that eventually come out on top.
All right, thanks so much for coming back on the show. I sure appreciate it, Stephen.
Sure thing. Take care.
Good to talk to you. All right, y'all. That's Stephen Zunis. professor of politics at the University of San Francisco. I find his great archive of really good articles going back for much more than a decade at antiwar.com. We'll be right back.
Hey, all Scott here. If you're like me, you need coffee. Lots of it. And you probably prefer it tastes good, too. Well, let me tell you about Darren's Coffee Company at darrenscoffee.com. Darren Marion is a natural entrepreneur who decided to leave his corporate job and strike out on his own, making great coffee. And Darren's Coffee is now delivering right to your door. Darren gets his beans direct from farmers around the world. All specialty, premium grade, with no filler. Hey, the man just wants everyone to have a chance to taste this great coffee. darrenscoffee.com. Use promo code Scott and you get free shipping. darrenscoffee.com.
Hey, I'll check out the audiobook of Lou Rockwell's Fascism Versus Capitalism, narrated by me, Scott Horton, at audible.com. It's a great collection of his essays and speeches on the important tradition of liberty. From medieval history to the Ron Paul Revolution, Rockwell blasts our status enemies, profiles our greatest libertarian heroes, and prescribes the path forward in the battle against Leviathan. Fascism Versus Capitalism by Lou Rockwell for audiobook. Find it at Audible, Amazon, iTunes, or just click in the right margin of my website at scotthorton.org.
Hey, I'll Scott Horton here. It's always safe to say that one should keep at least some of your savings in precious metals as a hedge against inflation. And if this economy ever does heat back up and the banks start expanding credit, rising prices could make metals a very profitable bet. Since 1977, Robertson Roberts Brokerage, Inc. has been helping people buy and sell gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, and they do it well. They're fast, reliable, and trusted for more than 35 years. And they take Bitcoin. Call Robertson Roberts at 1-800-874-9760 or stop by rrbi.co.